Those last two verses are the sermon text this morning. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. COVID. New regulations. Again. Will life ever be back to even a semblance of normality? How long is all of this going to go on? Things going to get worse? Are they going to get better? I don't know the answer to those questions. And, of course, you don't either. New president in the White House. President whose intentions we already tend to mistrust. We think will probably not serve the well-being of Christ's church, at least not outwardly. What are the next 4 years going to bring? I don't know the answer to those questions. And neither do you. In our churches, a minister who's been deposed from the ministry of the Word, who's left our denomination with a number of families to establish his own denomination, I presume. What's going to come of all of that? None of us know the answer to those questions, do we? But there's one thing we know, or at least ought to know, and that's what the Word of God tells us here in these last two verses of Ephesians 1. That God has put all things under the feet of Christ and has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know what? That's the only thing we need to know. The only thing we ever need to know. No matter how much the world changes, no matter what changes there are in politics and in society, no matter what happens, even in the church, there is only one thing that matters, that God has given Christ to be the head over all things to the church. And that's the subject of this morning's sermon, Christ's exalted headship. We're going to spend some time this morning talking about the headship of Christ. We're going to focus then on that little word gave in verse 22. God gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And finally, we're going to focus on that and talk about that amazing statement of verse 23, which describes the church not only as his body, but as the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that statement, I'll tell you now already, is designed to help us put our confidence not in men, not in what may or may not happen, but in Christ alone. As far as what happens in the world around us, and as far as what happens in the church. So we're going to start with the fact that he is head over all things. Same really as what you read at the beginning of verse 22, God has put all things under his feet. That word all has to be taken, beloved, in the most literal sense of the word. Christ is head of all things. He is head of that little virus. He is. He's head of Biden and Harris, our new vice president. They don't know that. But he is. Does it make any difference at all whether they know it or acknowledge it? Christ is their head. He's head of the House of Representatives, not Pelosi, but Christ is head of the House of Representatives and of the Senate too, not McConnell, but Christ. He's head of the Supreme Court. We have, of course, in the Supreme Court, one of the justices who's referred to as the Chief Justice, Justice Roberts. He's not the head of the Supreme Court, even though he's called the Chief Justice. Christ is head of the Supreme Court. He's head of our governor, Inslee. No matter what Inslee thinks of that idea, Christ is head of all things. Head of the creation. Head of every wind that blows, every leaf that falls, every flower that grows. Head of the planets, the stars, the suns, all things. Head of World Health Organization. Not sure I can even pronounce the name of the man who's, in men's eyes, the head of that organization. But it doesn't make any difference who sits in his seat. Christ is head of that organization. Head of the Center for Disease Control. Head of the Surgeon General, who has a great deal to say about health matters. Head of the Department of Health and Human Services. These are the organizations, of course, that are making the rules that have so dramatically changed our lives. And Christ is the head of every one of them. He's the head of Pfizer, the company, one of the companies that's manufacturing vaccines. Christ is head of that company, not some man. And head of all the efforts that are in place to produce a vaccine that we hope will help deal with this current plague. He's the head of the Protestant Reformed churches. He's the head of every synod and classis meeting. And he's their head, whether their decisions are right or wrong. I'm going to come back to that. But he's the head of the church in that sense. Head of every consistory. But head, because as verse 22 says, God has put all things under his feet. Satan too. And all the forces of hell are under his feet as head. Not Satan, for all his power, but Christ is head of hell. But when the Word of God describes that as the result of God putting all things under his feet, then it's emphasizing the fact that in many cases, his rule is either unknown, the leaf that falls doesn't know that it falls under the headship of Christ. It's either unknown or it's rejected. That's Psalm 2. Kings of the earth and the rulers rise up together against the Lord and against his anointed and say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their yoke from us. But God laughs, and God laughs because, as Psalm 2 says, he has set his king on the holy hill of Zion. Christ is head over all things. And I think you can see the comfort in that. If all you say is COVID, 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 coronavirus, then you probably work yourself up into quite a state and tie yourself up in knots over what's happening for one reason or another. But if you don't just say coronavirus, but say Christ, head over all things, then that makes all the difference in the world. Then there's no reason to be afraid. You don't even have to wonder about what's going to happen because it's all in his hands, his head. And that means, of course, that he sees and knows. That's what head means. Sees and knows all that happens. He knows. You and I don't. He knows what's going on in the councils, the high places of our government. He knows what's going on in hell. As Satan does everything he can, as the great enemy of the church, to devour and destroy. Christ sees and knows. And doesn't just see and know, of course. But he controls and directs all things as head. That's what the head does. Doesn't just direct what are called your voluntary actions. I decide I'm going to reach out and pick this up. And it's my head that rules and governs those actions. But it rules and governs even the beating of my heart and the blinking of my eyes and my breathing, what we refer to as involuntary actions. It's all under the control of my head. And it's in that way that Christ is head overall. People get all tied in, up in knots, you know, when they talk about the coronavirus. All tied up in knots over where it originated. Whether in a laboratory, somewhere, artificially created by man, or naturally. Really doesn't make any difference. Christ is head. It came from him. And he rules and governs every mutation of that virus. He determines who's going to become ill with that virus and who's going to die of that virus. And you know what a difference that makes personally. If Christ controls that, then while I obey the rules of the government that the government makes out of respect for them and in obedience for Christ, my attitude towards that virus is, whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. I belong to him who is head over all things. That's the way it is, isn't it? And then, too, I can make decisions about vaccination, things like that, one way or the other. Without listening endlessly to all men's chatter and tying myself up in knots over what they say or don't say. Christ is head over all things. And that's my peace, my assurance, my spiritual well-being in a world that's full of dangers, constantly disturbed by troubles, in which, apart from him, I have every reason to be afraid. You see, head over all things. But head of the church, too. Already mentioned that. Head of the Protestant Reformed Churches. Head of Byron Center Protestant Reformed Church. Head of every consistory, every classis, every synod, every decision that's made. And his headship over the church means, in many ways, the same thing that it means in his, as far as his headship over all things is concerned. He sees. He knows. He controls and directs. It's not the will of men finally that's done in the church. but Christ's will as the head of the church. You understand that? It's as though you're looking at a picture and you can't quite focus. Can't quite make out the details. Can't quite figure it out. There are pictures like that, you know. They confuse our eyes and our minds. But then suddenly, everything snaps into focus and you see that whatever else that picture contains, it's fundamentally a picture of Christ Himself in all His glory. But you see Him pictured not just as sovereign head of all things and of the church, but you see that there's a difference between His headship over the church and over all things. And that difference can be summed up with one word, and that's love. He loves His church. And that's the reason why the church is described in verse 23 as His body. If you will, though all things are under His feet, the church has a place at His side and in His heart and in His loving kindness as an institution that is most dear to Him by purchase, by indwelling, with the hope that He will come again and take her to Himself. And that too is of comfort, especially when you think about what's going on in our own denomination. Years of controversy, all leading to what's happened the last few weeks. Christ is head of all of that, but head of that as the one who loves His church with a love that reaches back into eternity and never, ever, ever changes. A love that's perfect and a love that will see His church to that place she has with Him in heaven. There's comfort in that. But that's only the beginning of what the passage has to say. Here's the second point of the sermon, second part of the sermon. There's that little word gave. In verse 22, God gave Him to be head over all things. But in giving Him to be head over all things, He gave Him to the church. Christ, as Biden's head and the head of the whole political system of this country and of every country in the world, Christ is head of diseases and viruses and all such things, is ours. He belongs to us as head over all things. Amazing, isn't it? And that means, of course, that His headship over all things That's the real point that the Word of God is making. His headship over all things is for the sake of the church and for the sake of her eternal glory and salvation. Christ is head of that virus that has so changed our lives for our sakes. If that virus was created in some laboratory, and I don't think anyone really knows whether that's the case or not, men speculate, men have their ideas, really doesn't make any difference. Christ created that virus and didn't just create it, doesn't just control its spread and all that happens as a result of that virus, but does that for your sakes. That's what the Word of God means when it says that God gave him to be the head over all things. And in doing so, gave him to the church. So why be afraid? Obey the rules, oh yes. Romans 13 requires that of you and me. The rules men make. But there's no need to be afraid. Is there? No need really even to wind yourself up over all those questions that men ask. Where did it come from? What's going to happen? Is it ever going to end? Is life ever going to return to normal? There's that one thing you and I know, and the only thing we need to know. It's Christ's virus. And it's his for the sake of his church. Can I explain how that is? No. No one can. But I don't need to know that. He knows. How? Why? Knows the answers to all the questions we might ask about that virus. I don't have to be troubled about the fact that we have a president now who, if the record says anything, says that he has very little concern for morality, justice, what's right. But I don't have to plot against him. I don't have to trouble my head about him. He's there in the White House because Christ put him there. And didn't just put him there. But that's what these verses are about. Put him there for you and me. For our well-being and eternal salvation. Couldn't it have been someone? At least for a few more terms, who cared for justice and truth and what's right, or who at least would make decisions that would be, as far as we're able to judge them, for the good of the church? Not in the mind of Christ. And so I can submit to whatever's ahead. even honor those who are in authority over me in government. Whatever their moral character may be. Because in honoring them, I am honoring Him whom God gave to be head over all things. And in giving Him to be head over all things, was giving Him to me. You see? Makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? That's why I said at the beginning, there's really only one thing that you and I need to know, and that's here in these last two verses of Ephesians 1. How? How will some of those who rule us in government serve the well-being of the church? No one knows but Christ Himself. But I know that He is head over all to the church, which is His body, the body that He loves. That giving of Christ, of which the text speaks, took place especially when Christ was brought to the right hand of God. Christ in our human nature was brought to the right hand of God and set at God's right hand, sovereign King over all, Lord of lords and King of kings. That's when God put all things under His feet. As the Son of God, of course, He had that rule from all eternity. From the beginning of creation. But God put all things under His feet, and in putting all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church when He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places and crowned Him with glory and honor and gave Him a name above every name. But that giving didn't begin there. It began in the councils of eternity. When in His sovereign good pleasure, God gave the church to Christ and gave Christ to the church. According to the good pleasure of His own will. The text makes, or the passage makes reference to that back at verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. He was giving Christ head over all to the church when He sent Him into the world, because His being crowned in our human nature, head of all, meant that He had to come and rescue His church from the powers of hell. Gave Him to us when He gave Him to the death of the cross for our sakes, and so made atonement for our sins, purchased us that we might be His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Gave Him to us when He raised Him from the dead, Because, of course, a dead lord and head would be of no use to us. Gave him to us as the one risen from the dead and alive forevermore. And then too gave him, when he lifted him up to his own right hand and crowned him in the heavenlies with glory and honor and power and majesty. In our human nature, was giving him to us so that he might be head over all things to the church. Never again a reason for me to be afraid. Never again a reason for me to be troubled. I am, of course, because I don't keep my eyes fixed on him. I hear what men say, what men think, and they distract me. And then I'm like Peter, trying to walk on water when he took his eyes off the Son of God and began to sink. Head over all things to the church. COVID is for you, beloved. There never would have been a virus named COVID if that wasn't the case. Biden and all the others are for you. Every hurricane, every earthquake, every movement of the sun and of the planets is for you. Through the power and majesty of him whom God gave to be head over all things for the church. And that's what guarantees that no matter how long it takes, no matter what happens, the church, that elect church, his from eternity, will be with him forever. Not a member missing, perfect and complete with him. This is a guarantee of that. And if you need anything else to assure you of that, then verse 23 adds that amazing statement, not just that the church is his body, and you know how we take care of our bodies, but it's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That has to be one of the most remarkable statements in the Word of God about the church. That means that you and I, redeemed, saved by grace, chosen by God from eternity, indwelt by the Spirit, that we are his fullness. He, that's the point, is not complete without his church. No more than a husband is complete without his wife, or a wife without her husband, is Christ complete without his church. You see what that says? Through trials and tribulations, through storms and distress, through trouble and sorrow, through temptation and sin, through grief and heartache, The church will be with Christ. He is not complete. In the will of God and in the sovereign good pleasure of God, without his church, she must come safely through it all. All things must work for her good. Not because she's anything in herself, but because in the mind of God and in the work of Christ, she is the fullness of him that fills all things. You believe that? You have to, beloved. You have to. If you don't believe that, then there is nothing to believe. God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What will happen in our own denomination? Don't know. Is there still the possibility of reconciliation? I don't know. What does the future hold for us as churches? I don't know. But I know this, that Christ will never abandon his church, never leave her to Satan's wolves. She is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's true of everyone who belongs to him in our own denomination. That's true of everyone who is Christ's by election, by redemption, by grace, belongs to him. You take that home with you. Remember it when you read the news. Remember it when you pray for the churches, for our own congregation. Remember it when you have to submit to those who are in authority over us. Remember it when someone you loved is touched by disease, whether it's this virus or something else. It won't make any difference. Head over all to the church, which is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall his empire be. That's what you believe, isn't it? Amen. Father, bless what we've heard from the Word this morning. May it be our comfort and our strength in the days and weeks and months ahead, and as long as it is until our Savior comes again. May we find our rest in the everlasting arms in Christ himself. May we find our peace in him who has made peace between us and thee. May we find our hope in him who is the anchor of our souls. And may we in all things look not to men, but to him who loved us and gave himself for us until he comes again. In his name we pray with the pardon of our sins. Amen.